Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. All right, as we approach New Year's Eve, which is just right around the corner, Kellen and I are going to talk a little bit about kind of what we see as coming in 2026. As a reminder, this is not a prediction podcast. We don't predict the future. These episodes are just, we just kind of talk about trends and what we see coming. In the past, we've done like really specific predictions just for fun. Maybe we'll throw one or two out today. Never to be taken seriously, and even our thoughts on what 2026 might look like is not meant to ever be any sort of advice. Don't change your life based on what we're going to talk about here.
Why is this caveat necessary? Are you worried about getting sued?
No, I'm worried about people actually taking action based on something I say and impacting someone's life in a negative way. Not that I think that I hold enough weight to do that, but I think it's responsible to say this is just two guys who really don't know anything. If economists who dedicate their life to the study of how economies work can't predict it, Kellen and I most definitely cannot.
Makes sense. Well said.
Also, don't sue me. Sue Kellen instead.
Nope, I am no longer affiliated.
Your name is still on all of it. When Donald Trump and his administration creates a list of members of Antifa, and they come after this podcast because we don't agree with everything Trump says, your name and your voice is here.
No, that's actually the whole reason I stepped away from the podcast. I wanted to be able to declare, was it deniability?
Sure.
Yeah.
Plausible deniability.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what you're saying is you're picking a side.
I am putting just all the blame on you.
MAGA Kellen.
No, please no.
All right. Well, we won't take a lot of time with this. We've kind of, in the last two episodes, we've sprinkled in a little bit about, it's really hard to talk about the past year without also talking about the direction that it's headed and what next year could look like. But Kellen, if you were just to look into 2026 and think about the next 12 months, what is maybe your biggest concern? Is it the economy? Is it something else?
Well, so much of this is interrelated, right? But I'd say my biggest concern is politics.
Okay.
Like policy and the actions of our political leaders have a major impact on the economy, like we've seen. And I look at how much is being invested in the military. I look at how much infrastructure and everything is being dedicated toward AI. I look at the kind of policy that's being put in place that really just benefits those that are already way wealthier than they could ever even handle. And for like the average American, I struggle to see a path in which 2026 looks better than 2025.
Yeah.
And that's sad to say. Like, I want to see the glass half full, but like just realistically, like if I were to try to map out, here's how things could look better for people in 2026. I'm like, well, I mean, there are some cool tools available to people through AI, maybe more opportunity to go be entrepreneurial. There's ways you can find efficiencies. Like there's still a lot of good things out there, but on the average, I'm like, oh man, it's politics that really have me concerned.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I agree. The economy is a huge concern because it affects our day-to-day lives, but politics is so intertwined and policy is really, I think right now, are going to be what make or break the economy in the short term. In the long term, maybe not so much. The economy is going to do what it's going to do. It's tied to resource availability. It's tied to the whole collapse idea. So the economy is not going to last forever. But policy, politics can make instantaneous changes to our lives and can exacerbate or preempt or intensify collapse in general. I mentioned this in one of our episodes that we just did looking back on 2025. And it feels like this year is going to be really informative about what the rest of the Trump presidency is going to look like from a standpoint of what he can do. In 2025, we learned that he was serious this time around about pushing the boundaries, and not just pushing the boundaries, but breaking through them in many ways. Where in his first administration, it was like he talked a lot, but didn't do many of the things he said he was going to do. This time around, he's following through with so many of those threats. He's getting more bold as he sees himself getting away with more things. And so I think we're going to see him push the limits as far as he can before the midterms. And then depending on, and in order to sway the outcome of the midterms, and depending on the outcome of the midterms, I think will really determine the next, not just 2 years of this term of his presidency, but potentially the next decade or more of GOP policy and really the direction that this nation heads. Trump has shown himself to be, to have this desire to be authoritarian. He has taken on sort of this persona of the fascist, and he is doing all of these things, being isolationist, being expansionist, talking about all these wars he wants to get into and potentially go into Venezuela now, going after his political enemies, going after immigrants and the scapegoats, minorities in general. Like, he's set the stage, he's begun carrying it out, and I think this year we're really going to find out how far he's willing to go. So yeah, from a policy perspective, I think we'll see some dramatic things from President Trump, especially as we get closer and closer to midterms. I think we'll also start to see, if it's possible, I think we'll see him get a little more erratic. It feels like he's becoming more unstable. And I know that's a weird thing to say because he's always been quite unstable, but just in the way that he talks about the media, in the things that he tweets, and in his mental state, you know, in all of these different things, it's like he's becoming more and more just unpredictable and temperamental. And so I wonder if we'll start to see just more of the like extremes coming from him this year.
And what do you think that looks like? Give me an example of what kind of extremes we might see if that is the case.
Well, like I think back to, you know, before he was elected or before he really took office, very beginning of 2025. And I don't know that I could have predicted the types of things that he was going to do or say. Could I predict that he would be simultaneously talking about all the wars that he prevented nonstop while trying to start others in other places, right? Could I have predicted that he would be bombing boats in Venezuela? I don't think those are things that I could ever have predicted. And so, but it's those types of extremes as I think about 2026. If today he's bombing boats in the Caribbean, you know, is tomorrow he like physically assaulting the leader of another country, you know, in a meeting or like, I don't even know. I think he's had a lot of rhetoric this year threatening. Again, he threatened Venezuela, but we're not on the ground there yet, right? Maybe that's something that he does. He's threatened many news agencies or threatened many people that he hasn't taken action on. He's, again, talking about Antifa. He's set up this ability to use Antifa as a terrorist organization to go after his enemies and declare anyone a member of Antifa. He hasn't really done that yet, but it's there. So it's like, yeah, do we see him pulling the trigger on acting on some of those things? And when it comes to the temperamental, it seems like in any moment he could just lose it. So as far as like making a decision in a split moment to just do something crazy, completely unhinged that none of us could have seen coming because, you know, he saw a Fox News article on it from 2021 and thinks that it's happening now and suddenly just decides to act on it. Like, those are the types of things that the unpredictability of this next year but I could see weird things happening.
Weird things. Got it.
Yeah. So 2026, it's going to be weird.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
How do you see things shaking out economically? Like, we're kind of in this weird trend. You say that they think that 2026 is going to be worse. You know, there's a negative outlook for GDP and inflation and these types of things. Do you fear that it hits a cascading point? Is the AI bubble going to pop this year? Or do you think it's just kind of more of, like we lose more jobs, employment rate rises, kind of inflation increases a little?
Yeah, I think the AI bubble will pop.
Oh, bold.
Maybe in a different way than some people would guess.
Okay.
I think a lot of people look at it and they're like, oh man, all these companies are investing all this money and all of that is all for nothing. And I don't think that's the case. I think it's like many emerging technologies where, like with the internet, for example, the internet is introduced and there were so many companies that could see this was going to be transformative and all these little startups that try to take advantage of it. And most of them end up failing. The ones that succeed get bought out by other ones that are more successful. And like in a pretty short period of time, it all gets consolidated, right? Similar to how like Google, Amazon, you know, some of these companies end up like winning in the competition. And so I think everything that's happening with AI is here to stay.
Okay.
And I think it's going to be adopted more and more in like the corporate world and for personal use. I think it's just going to be ingrained in every part of our lives, basically.
This year, we got a sniff of job loss due to AI. Do you think that increases and noticeably so in 26?
So real quick, just on a like company, you know, talking about all these different companies that are running with AI, a lot of them will get like bought up, consolidated, whatever. But there will be, I think, a lot that fail. Like, I think a ton of investment dollars have gone into certain AI companies. And very quickly, they'll see that like there's no path to profitability.
Yeah.
So I think there will be at some point in 2026, a pretty significant like market scare.
Okay.
And maybe I'm just trying to be not play it too safe here with my predictions. But I do think that's likely. And I also think that—
Wait, hold on. I got to say, because while you were on that, I pulled up my list of bingo guesses this year. And I have a major AI company will announce they are dissolving or being purchased. I had clarified that would be like one of the top like 10 or 15 AI companies. So,
all right.
I'm there with you on that one.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance of you.
Maybe that's not a long shot. Maybe that's just obvious.
Yeah, I think there will be a lot of job loss. And this has been talked about for a long time, that there will be a lot of jobs opening up in other ways.
Sure.
Just you look at all of the power plants, like all of the construction that needs to happen to build all these power plants that are planned and then to run and maintain those. Like, I think there's a lot of employment there. Do I think like net it'll be a gain or a loss? I think it'll probably be somewhat of a loss.
But do the white collar workers just go build power plants then? Or like, how does that work?
I think a lot of white collar workers will lose their jobs and will be looking for jobs for a really long time. Like, and that's kind of happening already.
But if there's already a shortage of construction workers, like the natural thing is that if a million jobs get lost in the white collar sector and a million job or 800,000 jobs open up in the construction sector and they don't have construction workers, do these million white collar workers fight for the construction jobs to build the plants?
I think most, they're very far into their career, will not pivot, will not adapt. They look to struggle. I think probably a lot of kids coming out of high school will be like, I'm not going into tech. Like, I'll go into construction. I'll go through trade school.
Not paying for college for the next 30 years.
Yeah.
And
like my kids are still several years away from making that choice. But if they were at that age and they were making that decision, I'd be like, I think you're right. Like,
can't blame you.
Yeah. You know, and I got a master's degree. Like I was a big believer in education. I still think education is important, but I just think like the traditional route of you go to college and that will land you a good job,
right,
is much less likely now.
Okay.
I think just speaking of AI, I think that there's going to be a lot of weird stuff. You talked about 2026 being a weird year. And I think Sam Altman talked about like now they're going to allow OpenAI to get into adult content
at the same time that that Disney just sold rights to their characters. Did you see that?
No.
For like, it was like $1 billion or more. I can't remember. It was some billion dollar amount. They sold all the rights to their characters to Sora, to OpenAI, at the same time that Sora is going to go into adult content. So
I think there's going to be so much weird stuff out there with AI.
Okay.
I was actually trying to think of a couple of like kind of optimistic things that I think will get better.
Sure.
One of them is, I think, and we're already seeing this, but I think there will be way more entertainment than there has ever been. Like, if you have time on your hands and you want to be entertained, I think there's going to be just like an insane amount of options.
And are you just talking, are you talking about like AI curated content?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think I'm starting to see commercials on TV where there's a little disclaimer at the very bottom in small print. Like this was created by.
Okay. And you think people will take to that, or do you think people will reject and revolt against it?
Oh, I think they'll totally take to it.
Okay.
I think like on social media, people are already love like all sorts of AI stuff.
Sure.
But I think we'll start to see like shows, movies, you know, more and more of that mixed in.
Okay.
And it's going to make it so that there's just an explosion of content.
And you think this year is the year for that?
I think we'll see a major uptick in it.
Okay.
So I think if you're just like, I am somebody who wants to be entertained, 2026 might be a better year than you've ever had. I also think we'll start to see some cool medical advancements.
I also have a long shot on medical advancements. Yeah.
Like I'm already starting to hear some cool things where I have been involved, and they're finding really clever ways to beat certain types of cancer. I don't know if this is AI related, but like my kids have tons of allergies and it's a huge struggle that we deal with. And I've at least heard there's some sort of instead of having to have an EpiPen, there's some sort of like an inhaler, like an Epi inhaler that's being FDA approved. I think just across the board, it's likely that we will see a lot of great medical advancements. Now, whether people can actually afford those
right
or not,
will it just be for the wealthy?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of those things that, you know, if AI does take off like AI people hope it takes off, and I'm still undecided on how I feel about how successful AI will be. But if it does take off, that's one of the things I think I am most excited about, is the idea of being able to solve these things that make people suffer so terribly, right? Fix diseases. And like, obviously from a global, like human population standpoint, a collapse standpoint, making people live longer is not necessarily going to help on the resource consumption, but just from a person by person decrease the amount of suffering now sort of way, I do think that there's going to be cool things coming.
Yeah. And maybe one other thing, if you're middle class or maybe upper middle class, like I'm starting to see more and more like lawns being mowed by some autonomous lawnmower. And, you know, we see videos and things of like humanoid robots that can wash your dishes and can do your laundry. And
yep.
I think some of that will start to actually make it to the market.
Okay.
So for some people, you know,
if you're rich, you're in luck.
If you're rich, you're going to get great medicine, you're going to get great entertainment, and you're going to have to do less household chores.
And if you're poor, your water's going to be poisoned by the AI data center down the road. Cool. I'm glad you're being optimistic about this year. Okay, moving on. Conflict. What do you think? We've got all these conflicts already ongoing. Is this going to be a year in which those get resolved? Is this going to be a year in which we see more conflict?
You go first.
All right. I definitely do think it'll be a year that we see more conflict. I don't see the world decreasing in the amount of conflict. There's just too many flashpoints, and there's too many people too many countries that seem to be gearing up for it. We've already got, like we talked about, threats from the U.S., and whether or not those threats get carried out, just what Trump is doing is shaking up the world order. Trump is moving away from the West. He's alienating himself from allies. And this causes a restructuring. If Europe suddenly realizes they can't depend on the U.S., and even if we replace Trump, someone else could get elected in 4 years, it'll just go back and do the same thing. We've got an unreliable set of parties in the U.S. And so if allies feel that they can't rely on us, it's going to cause shakeups. And we're seeing European countries right now rapidly increase their spending on defense. Germany has just announced like $50 billion dedicated towards an increase in defense. And frankly, this is a lot of stuff that the U.S., the current administration, wants. They want to pull away from NATO and make European countries do more of their share, I suppose. But anyway, Trump is aligning himself more with Russia. And many of the actions that have been taken, especially in regards to like the Ukraine-Russia war, some of these different proposed treaties and all this, seem to have come, and in some cases, I believe, are proven to have come from Russia itself, right? And so there's no doubt in my mind that Trump's distancing himself from Western allies, moving himself more onto kind of the Russian side, there was rumors or a leak from inside the administration that they were talking about leaving the G7 and kind of setting up a new economic pact with China and India and Russia. And so that type of a shift, I feel like it opens up holes and rifts and vacuums, and it changes the dynamic, and it creates opportunities for other countries that they'll take advantage of. I think that countries will start to see that the other countries are getting away with more. Israel is getting away with genocide. Russia is getting away with not only their war in Ukraine, but pushing the boundaries of NATO and sending drones across borders, and they're pushing their luck there, and they're getting away with it. Trump is threatening Venezuela. He's bombing boats in the Caribbean, and he's getting away with it. We know China wants to take Taiwan, right? And if they're emboldened by the actions that they're seeing from other countries, I can see it moving towards this sort of like free-for-all, where countries are like, we're all just going to mind our own business and take what we want. And that isolationism increases, alliances fall apart. I'm not saying that that's all what I'm expecting this year. I'm not necessarily expecting China to move on Taiwan this year, right? But I think that's the direction that we're headed. And I think we'll see more and more of these sort of power moves and expansionist moves. I worry about Russia and NATO. It seems like it would be a suicide mission for Russia to attempt anything against NATO, but the posturing is increasing. The amassing of troops is increasing. Europe and NATO sure seem to think that there's an issue there, because they're increasing their actions in response, shoring up their borders, those types of things. And so I think that's a flashpoint to watch. Last year, my bingo guesses for 2025, I'd kind of put a caveat on them and said, like, here's what I think is going to happen in the coming years. I don't necessarily think they're going to happen in 2025. And many of those things, like, almost happened this year, right? Like, I had Trump invoking the Insurrection Act, which he was right on the edge of doing but didn't do. Or I had Russia encroaching on a NATO country, which with boots on the ground, they didn't, but they sent several drones over. And it was like those types of things, those bingo guesses, I would just leave those there and say, I think we'll see more of those encroachments, these things almost taking place in 2026. And at some point, whether it's this year or in the next few years, I think there's a flashpoint in which things just kind of devolve.
And when it comes to conflict, I just don't see many world leaders right now that really want peace.
Right. They want a piece of another country.
But really, it's like, it is moving much more toward self-interest and, you know, pushing their agenda. It's always been there to some degree, but like, I just think it's accelerated.
Do you think Trump moves on Venezuela, or does that fizzle out?
I think he's going to keep pushing the boundaries further and further, right? Like you talked about bombing boats. People condemn it, and, you know, whoever says, like, you can't do that, and he doesn't care.
Right.
He just keeps doing it. And I think it's a way of, like, testing the waters. And so I'm trying to think of what, like, the next steps would be, but I do think he's just going to keep pushing things further and further.
So it's like there won't be, like, a full-scale invasion, but, like, he'll bomb a single site that is a known drug manufacturing compound and say, we were just attacking those terrorists, we're not invading, like, that type of thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's some island off the coast of Venezuela that he will place a bunch of troops there, you know? Maybe that's already happened. I don't know. But I just think there's going to be one little step at a time moving more and more in that direction.
So do you think Maduro lives through 2026, or I should say remains
alive?
In charge of Venezuela?
Yeah.
Okay.
You?
I don't know. I kind of want to say no. I don't know if there will be a full-scale invasion either, but I wonder if Maduro will crack under the pressure. He just got an invite from Belarus to go live there. If he got ousted, and it's like, if he thinks his days are numbered here and he just wants to live it out in peace, he can just go hang out in Belarus. And I don't know. Yeah, it's an interesting one.
All right. I think we're to the point where we should make a couple of bold predictions.
All right.
And I've got one in mind.
Let's hear it.
We've talked so much about whether it's the economy, whether it's AI, like all these other things. So much of it, we've looped Trump into that conversation.
Okay.
Because he plays a huge part.
All right.
All right, here's what I think is going to happen at some point.
I'm excited for this. Let's hear it.
Trump is going to have some sort of a major health issue. Maybe it's like a severe stroke or a heart attack or something. He won't die, but he will be like incapacitated. And there will be all sorts of rumors about like what's going on with his health status. But so much of what both political parties are doing, so much of what so many corporate leaders are doing, like the whole world is making all of their plans around Trump. And so I think this will happen. And then the world is going to go into, like, it's going to be very chaotic.
Interesting. So you think that there would be a pretty quick reaction from other countries somehow manifesting that their plans are upended?
Well, I think the economy.
Okay.
Starting out, the economy will see some huge, crazy swings.
Okay.
Because there's just so much uncertainty. And then I think you'll see U.S. political leader doing some bizarre things, right? Like, those that think he's down and out are going to try to make their case for why they're going to try to put themselves in the spotlight.
Interesting. Okay.
And I think all of a sudden, Trump has been so heavy-handed as he's interacted with other countries. There will be countries who think he's not coming back from this whatever this health thing is, and they'll be much more bold with the U.S.
Okay.
Maybe they, like, major tariffs on us or whatever, but I think all of a sudden things are just going to be thrown into disarray.
Shift the power dynamics. Interesting. Okay, I like it. I'm gonna go, this is a long shot, right? These are like not meant to be. I'm gonna say that the stock market is gonna explode upward. Right. Dow Jones Industrial Average, at least 25% gains year over year.
Okay.
That's bold.
Yeah.
Especially considering like our thought that it will actually go down.
As caused by what?
I don't know. It could be anything. But what one mechanism could be that like Trump's tariffs get overturned. The Supreme Court says, nah, you can't do that. And markets are just like going crazy over that, right? That, yeah, there's just a massive celebration of corporations and people and just investors in general saying, finally, like Wicked Witch is dead. And, you know, anyway, I could see that causing a lot of uptick. And then yeah, AI, if the investment continues and there starts to see any sort of like return or advancement in AI that's really exciting, that could do it as well. It would basically be the opposite of our guess of the bubble bursting and tariffs having a super negative effect. Am I saying that I actually like think that's what's going to happen or I'd put my money on that? No, it's a long shot for a reason, but like it's plausible.
Yeah, I would put my money on Trump having a major hit.
Yeah. And like that's what's crazy about considering the future is there are so many possibilities in every direction. Like you could think one thing could happen and it could just be the complete freaking opposite, especially when you get specific. We might think collapse happens one way and then it is the polar opposite of that, right? I've got a couple other just quick little ones. Like I had written down here that an unexpectedly warm or dry winter will be noticed at the Winter Olympics in Italy. Like, I just pictured this thing where, like, they've had to pump the mountain full of fake snow. And there's, like, an image where the helicopter zooms out or, like, a spectator takes a photo. And in the background, it's, like, snow against, like, a green mountain, you know? Or, like it's all just muddy and gross because it's, like, mixing in the fake snow with wet conditions. Or it rains during one of the events or the spectators are in T-shirts or anyway, something like that. Yeah, to show how warm it is. And then one other I had, did you have any others? One other I had was that either the Glen Powell Dam, Lake Powell, or the Hoover Dam in Lake Mead will hit MPP, which is minimum power pool. Basically, I kind of looked into this one, and according to different like predictions from agencies, there's like less than a 1% chance of that happening this year. It is expected in the coming decades or maybe even few years or the chances increase. But yeah, I'll just say like wild evaporation or really bad winter makes it so that minimum power pool is hit in one of those. Not Deadpool. Deadpool is when water can't be pulled from it at all. Minimum power pool is when the hydroelectric dam can't produce power because the water level's too low. So unlikely to actually happen, but we'll throw the long shot out there.
So in all of that, I think what I heard is that you abandoned all your disclaimers and you're encouraging everyone to invest in the stock market.
Yeah, if you want 25% returns, go put all of your life savings into the Dow Jones Industrial Average. I wish you the best of luck. May the odds be ever in your favor.
Here's the thing. Maybe all of us like all of your listeners, everyone invests, it'll give just enough of an uptick that some economists will see it and like spread the word, and it actually will result in, you know, everyone getting excited about the market investing. You know, you could have that impact.
My prediction is that Kellen ends up in an insane asylum this year.
I already belong there.
Just kidding. Kellen, it's been such a pleasure. Please, please come back. Please.
I would like that. I genuinely, like, this is fun.
Well, I hope that you know that you're always invited. And based on your schedule and availability and schedules and whatever, that we see you more. Feel free to come back anytime. You can jump in and do an episode here or there, however you desire.
It's been great to be a guest on this wonderful podcast. Thank you for having me.
See ya.
Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.